Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Man on the moon. 746, the big brother I never wanted. And the legacy space expert of 720 WGN. Spike Odell joins us. Spike's intern, Steve Grzanich, standing by as well.
Roger, Houston.
Where were you? I never asked you this. Where were you when Neil Armstrong set foot on the moon?
I was at my friend's house. I was, I forget, 14 years old. We were all staying all night together, a bunch of us guys, to watch the moon watch. It was black and white TV.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget, because I was in the recliner, leaning back, and as he's coming out, stepping off the limb and walking on the moon, I'm looking through the Venetian blinds, and I can see the moon up there. I mean, I'm looking at the real moon while I'm watching him walk on it. I'll never forget that. That was so cool.
That was amazing. Absolutely amazing. Steve, I don't think I asked you. Where were you?
I was just a little baby at the time, and one of my most prized possessions is a photograph of my dad holding me standing in front of the television, and you can see Walter Cronkite on the television.
That's very cool, yeah.
Spike and I are old enough to remember Walter Cronkite and Wally Schirra.
Yeah.
And was Wally one of the Gemini guys?
Yeah, he was Gemini, and then he went on, and he got a little testy with NASA. He was one of the few that told NASA where to stick it while he was in orbit, so he didn't fly again.
Then that got him out of the Apollo program, I guess, huh?
No.
No?
Did he fly Apollo? I guess he did. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, he did.
But he was Gemini 6 and 7, the first crew that rendezvoused in space.
So we know a lot more now than we did then. What do you think of Michael Collins talking about? He didn't mind at all not being the guy on the moon. You think that's true?
Well, no, but I do understand the part that everybody has to play that part to make it all happen.
Sure.
And he was the one that was designated to be the pilot, the command module pilot. And I know he would have given anything to step on the moon, but he was happy to do his part, yeah. I know what you mean, though. I'm sure he wanted to.
Can you imagine being on the... Because one of the things he said, Steve, I think you've seen this as well. He said, people always go, wasn't it lonely? He goes, no, man. Hey, my own thing. I'm flying around the moon. I'm on the dark side of the moon. Nobody can get a hold of me. It wasn't like he was going to fly off and land on Uranus. I mean, you know, he was just he's in orbit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even back...
Have you been watching all these moonshot programs on TV the last month as they're getting, you know, up to this day? Have you been watching all those?
Oh, yeah, very cool. Very cool. Steve, have you seen them?
I've learned so much watching it. I thought I knew quite a bit, but... I've learned so much watching that stuff. The one that blows me away was whenever you hear the recording of them coming down about to land on the moon, you know, they're hovering and they're looking for a spot to land, and you always hear on the tape, 1202 alarm.
Yeah.
And everybody's going, 1202 alarm is in. And what I didn't know is that inside the lunar module, Neil and Buzz are looking at each other going, what's a 1202 alarm? And then what I didn't know is that everybody back in Houston, all the flight controllers are looking at each other going, what's a 1202 alarm? So they've got it in, and they're thinking, do we abort this thing? Do we keep going? And they said, just keep going. And come to find out, what the 1202 alarm was the computer, which is not as powerful as your Apple Watch these days.
Right.
The computer on board the lunar module was just simply sending out a signal saying, hey, baby, I'm overworked. This is all I can do. Settle down.
But am I right about this? For either one of you guys, they only had like 15, 20 seconds of fuel left, so they couldn't have gotten out of there if they wanted to, could they?
Yeah, I think it was about 12 seconds of fuel that was left when Neil finally sat it down.
Yeah. Well, that was fuel to land on the moon. If they wanted to abort, they did have fuel to go back up, but not to hover down.
That does make sense, right? Because if you only had 12 seconds of fuel left, you'd still be there.
If they aborted it, the bottom half of that limb would have fallen, and they would have gone up.
So it's just so wild. Completely wild. One of the things I saw, and Steve and Spike, I don't know if you saw this, was they did information on the heart monitors that Buzz and Neil Armstrong were wearing. and their heart rate went up from, you know, arresting rate to like a 110, and I think Neil Armstrong may have topped out at 125, 130. I'm at 125 getting out of a chair.
Can you imagine the pucker factor on those guys coming down here? You can crack walnuts with your sphincter, buddy. I'm telling you, that would be awful.
It's an absolutely amazing thing to look back and remember. I don't know if anybody under the age of 50 can really, you know, get it or understand it, but yeah, I certainly hope you're seeing it and appreciating it and watching it. One of the things that came on through Apollo 13 was that, and I never knew if it was real or not, but was the night that Lovell was doing a, you know, kind of a show around the capsule as they were flying towards the moon, and none of the networks carried it. And I heard Lovell in an interview say, in some ways, the accident on 13 was the best thing that could have happened to NASA because everybody wanted to watch the space program again.
Yeah, it was becoming old hat, and that was kind of sad. That really kind of, you know, as a young kid, that bothered me. Why are they not doing this? I was the kid that set my alarm clock for 2 o'clock in the morning to get up and watch them walk, you know?
Sure, without a doubt.
Yeah, and you know something else, too, that I don't think a lot of people realize, that every once in a while I'll hear people say, why are we spending wasting money on a space program? All of the stuff that they created for Apollo and then for the space shuttle, all of that stuff is the technology we're using today,
yep.
All of these spin-off
products.
NASA puts out this catalog every year of spin-off technologies, and it's a nice, thick catalog of stuff that they've created. It's just amazing.
Yeah, I hate to break it to you, kids, but we wouldn't have Velcro without the Apollo program.
That's right. That's right, yeah. Microwave ovens, the whole deal, yeah.
What, you know, I mentioned this earlier. My one thought as a 6 or 7 or an 8-year-old kid was when Neil Armstrong steps on the moon, he's going to sink. And it never occurred.
I actually thought of that too as a kid, but I figured if that thing is holding the entire lunar module, sure it can hold Neil Armstrong's weight.
I couldn't process that as far. Did you hear the whole thing about who was supposed to get off first, and Buzz and Neil had different stories?
Yeah, Buzz was trying to coerce himself to be the first, but NASA said no. The command, you know, the commander is the one that's going to do it. So that's how it worked. I've heard that story. If I can make a suggestion, if you've seen the trailers and stuff for the CNN documentary about the Apollo moonshot, I'd suggest watching that, because if you want to know what it was like 50 years ago when they took off and when they landed and when they walked and when they came back, I was on the edge of my seat and I knew how the story ended,
yep,
you know?
Yep.
It was just like I was when I was a kid 50 years ago. It's really well done.
You know, Lovell came in on your show a bunch here.
Yeah.
And did he ever talk about watching 11? You know, I know most of the conversation, like when he was nice enough to come on this show, was talking, or when I was filling in for you, was talking about 13. But did he talk to you much about 11?
Yeah, he did somewhat. Charlie Duke was the Capcom, the guy working the communications back and forth to the moon when they landed. Although Jim Lovell was also there, he pulled shifts doing that too. So he was a big part of the 11 mission. Yeah,
yeah. There's actually a photograph, one of the most historic photographs of the Capcom folks, and Lovell is sitting right there next to Charlie Duke, and they're at key roles right when they landed on the moon. You can see Lovell sitting right there.
Charlie Duke, one of the cool customers. I got a trivia question for you.
Go ahead.
Not walking on the moon, but landing on the moon. Who said the first words?
I don't know, Steve.
Oh, boy, that's going to be a tough one. I don't know.
Because all my life, I always thought it was Neil Armstrong saying, Houston, the Eagle has landed.
Yeah, not true.
Now, if you go back and listen to the tapes, it's obviously Buzz Aldrin saying, okay, contact light.
Oh.
Contact meds that are on the ground there. So.
What a cool little question. Look at you, Captain Trivia.
I'm going to use that for my trivia questions. Yeah.
Look at you. People thought you were sitting around painting and looking at birds. You're doing stuff.
You know, earlier when you were talking about Michael Collins going around in the dark on the dark side of the moon when all the other guys were going down, being alone, feeling alone, there were so many people around the world watching what was going on and listening to what was going on. Imagine if we could capture the attention of the world like that again with something, with some idea.
Yeah.
And have everybody
a unifying event.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That'd be cool. I always think of the fact, too, that the entire world, billions of people were gathered around whatever television set they could find to watch these guys walk on the moon for like an hour and a half. And the only person who couldn't see it was Michael Collins.
How about that?
Yeah.
In the entire universe.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And he was just 60 miles above the surface, you know.
You like the idea that we're going back?
Yeah, I do. I think we have to. If we don't stop doing that and keep exploring, I mean, we just dry up as a civilization. We've always explored. We went down the river. We went to the North Pole. We went to the South Pole. You know, you got to explore. When you stop, you're just going to dry up as a civilization, I think.
I had the honor of interviewing Gene Cernan before he died. This was maybe 7 years ago, 7 or 8 years ago. And he told me about how after Apollo 17, when we stopped the Apollo program and we didn't go back to the moon, how much we did not learn about the moon, even though we had gone all those many times. There was so much uncharted territory, so many things we could learn, and his one of his wishes was that we would go back and continue the work of Apollo.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know, and we got to go on to Mars too to pick up Matt Damon. Because he's still tending to the garden.
Poor guy's still growing potatoes up there. God bless him.
Thank you, buddy.
Hey, thank you, man.
That's the great Spike Odell, not the average
happy
or
Apollo
the middle
day.
One. That's happy Apollo Day to you, Spike Odell.
Hey, Spike.
Oh, hold on, I'll get him back. I got him right here.
Spike?
Yeah.
Hey, happy Apollo Day.
Is this little David?
Yeah, tell him. Tell him, Spike. You know what you're going to say. Tell him.
Come on. I want him to tell me. Hey, come on, he's late for the news. Come on.
You know he's got to get to the news. I don't have time.
Let me just shave you both time. I love both of you.
And I love you all.
I love you. See you later. That's grown men sharing emotions. Texter just reminded me we left a car on the moon. Remember the car they used to drive around in the later missions?
Yeah.
Got to pick that up, too. Imagine the service that thing needs.